This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation!
Surprise! It's WrestleMania weekend, so why not a little extra fun here on the Place to Be Nation podcast network? Welcome to this special edition of your home for everything modern-day flamethrower, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I'm your host, Scott Criscolo. We are here on this Saturday evening to recap and give some reaction to what has just concluded at the Amway Center in Orlando, NXT TakeOver Orlando. Five matches on the card tonight, and for the first time in a while, I'll say it that way, all three major NXT championships were successfully defended. Which I personally don't have a problem with, but some others may, because of what they think will happen Monday or Tuesday. But I'm not speculating on Monday or Tuesday, because Monday or Tuesday will get here soon enough. And of course, we have tomorrow, or today probably, as you'll be listening to this, because this will post late Saturday night. So today, or this evening, of course, will be WrestleMania 33. But Chris Zellner and the boys will have that reaction show later on, Sunday evening, Monday morning. You'll have that. But tonight, we are chatting it up and talking about what happened just now in Orlando. But I'm not going to do it alone. I have two exceptional gentlemen with me this evening. He is one of the hardest working men in show business and the hardest working men in podcast show business, Mr. Jason Greenhouse.
Hey, good evening, Scott. Thanks for having me. Biggest weekend of the wrestling fan year, and I don't think that tonight was a disappointment at all. We'll get into that very shortly.
No, it was not. I thought it was a pretty good show top to bottom. But we'll break it down. But also breaking it down with me is a gentleman who needs no introduction. He's the enigma of Place to Be Nation. And he is going... This is not going to be the last time you'll hear from him in the next 7 days. Mr. Johnny Reckless.
What's up, guys? Great to be here.
You will, of course, also be joining us on the next regular main event, which will be this coming Wednesday, when we will break down the whole weekend and talk about Sunday night, and of course talk about what will happen on Raw and SmackDown Live. But enough about that. We'll get into that in the middle of the week. Tonight, guys. First of all, actually, before we get into TakeOver, let's talk a little bit about Friday night and the Hall of Fame ceremony that took place in the same building, the Amway Center. A fantastic class. We talked about the class this past Wednesday when we had our preview. Johnny, top to bottom. I'm assuming you did watch it, correct?
I did, yes.
Okay, good. All right. Because I know some people probably didn't, you know, stay up late. And the Hall of Fame is one of those things you don't have to watch live. I think NXT, if you can, I think NXT and obviously Mania, you try to watch live. But the Hall of Fame, you really can. I watched it in two parts. Greeny and I, we watched it in two parts. Overall, what do you think? I would say probably maybe the best Hall of Fame ceremony ever executed by WWE since they've been doing them. Are you on mute? He's devastated. Maybe he wanted to be part of Milkamania.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, okay.
Cut out for a minute.
I thought maybe you wanted Milkamania to happen again. So.
No. Just to follow on your point, do I think it was the best? It was one of the better ones. I don't think it was the best, though.
Okay. Best induction speech.
Of the night?
Yeah.
I'm going with Paige. I really
no, not induction. That's acceptance. I meant the guys inducting the inductors, not the actual Hall of Famers. The people inducting them. We'll get to the Hall of Famers in a minute.
Then it's a parallel right there. It's Eric Bischoff.
Really? Okay. What'd you like about his?
He told a story. He wasn't really putting himself over, and everything he really said tied back to Paige. And he took you kind of piece by piece through Paige's career, didn't dwell too much on anything, but gave you a good idea who Paige was.
Yeah, I agree with that. I have to say, I don't think there was one overly bad inductor speech. I loved Cornette's. I thought Cornette was pretty crazy. He didn't really shock anybody, like some people thought he did. I liked Natalia's, and I usually don't like much of what she does. Steamboat's wasn't bad. Cena's was, I think Cena's was average, but I think Cena at this point knows how to handle these things. So, I know he wasn't, you know, totally, you know, gonna go too crazy, because I know that, you know, fans were probably gonna turn on him, and part of, at times they did. Greeny, what was your favorite inductor speech?
I really enjoyed Ron Simmons and Bradshaw inducting Teddy Long. I'm a sucker for road stories, and those three, along with The Godfather, in the same car for several years, doing road trips and making towns. I'm sure that there's plenty of road stories that cannot be told, but a couple of the ones that that Ron and Bradshaw touched on were really cool to hear. But I really, really enjoyed Natty talking about how her and Beth Phoenix's friendship formed. Natty on Total Divas and Natty, the heel character, are not two of my favorite people, but she came across very, very sincere, very heartfelt words from her, bringing up her uncles, Brett and Owen, which got a nice pop from the crowd. And you know, her and Beth are best friends, and it was really cool to hear how they got together. And you know, also, you know, Eric and Cornette, seeing both of them back, especially Cornette, was really, really cool. So not the best class in the history of the Hall of Fame, but definitely some of the best speeches we've heard, both from inductees and inductors.
Yeah, I would argue that the best class, the best two classes in history will always be, for me, 2012 and 2013. All right, Johnny, now the actual Hall of Famers themselves. You said Paige. What'd you like about DDP's?
You know, it was just a, you know, at the risk of sounding like a shill for Paige, but it was just the positive energy he had about it. And, you know, the fact that Paige is one of those guys, like most of us, most people in the industry thought, wasn't supposed to even be there.
Right.
You know, it's just cool to hear that speech, and kind of, he gives you a little bit of perspective on it.
Mm. Yeah, I thought his speech was good. My favorite, I mean, there were a few that were fantastic, but it's a tie, but I'm going to give the edge to Beth Phoenix. I thought she had the best one, but Kurt Angle is a very close second. Kurt's was tremendous, from the milk to the wig. I mean, Johnny, would you have ever thought you would have heard the sexy Kurt rap again? I mean, come on.
My night.
Sexy Kurt, I'll make your ankle hurt. I mean, come on, that was fucking great. You could just tell by the look in his eye that Kurt's just happy to be back. You know what I mean? Like, it felt like the last 5 years of the 11 he was in TNA was probably just such a slog that he's probably happy to be back where he knows he'll be treated fairly and respectfully. So, all right, so great Hall of Fame. The whole thing's on the network. Obviously, check it out. All right, guys, let's go to tonight. That took place in the same building for NXT TakeOver Orlando. 5 matches on the card. All 3 championships were on the line, and we were getting new belts tonight. New belts, of course. My ears perk whenever I hear or see the possibility of new belts being debuted. I had no problem with the 3 current belts. The only belt that I felt looked like it needed an upgrade were the tag belts. The tag belts I always thought were kind of plain. I think they needed an upgrade. I like the women's belt, and some people think the world title's a little clunky looking with the big logo and everything, but I had no problem with it. And I like the women's belt, so I was didn't matter to me where that was being upgraded. I was happy with the original, but I thought the tag straps definitely needed a little, you know, freshening. I thought they were fine 3 years ago, but I think they're looking a little old. But our first two matches this evening were not title matches. The first one, the big eight-man tag, got that old-school mid-90s Mania feel to it. You know, this big crew of heels taking on this nice setup of baby faces. Now, it was Sanity, Eric Young, his two Hosses, and Nikki Cross. Before I want to actually make sure I get their names right. Let me see if they're on Wiki. Do they have their names? Yes. Alexander Wolf, which is the skinnier, bald guy with the goofy face, and Killian Dane, who's the bigger dude, right? Or am I getting that flip-flop?
That's right.
Okay, I am right. So Killian Dane is the big hairy dude. Wolf is the skinny guy with the crazy blonde hair, and of course Nikki Wolf's the nutso chick. Taking on Ty Dillinger, Ruby Riott, who scares the shit out of me. She really does. Roddy Strong, and a replacement. Now, Johnny, what do you think of this? This makes Access pretty cool, because this happened last year down in Arlington, and they did it again this year. NXT actually had a ring and some seats in Access, and that's where they were shooting some of their matches for the next couple weeks of taped TV. They do it there. They don't do a pre-show matches in the arena like they do for the other the other takeovers before pay-per-views. So I guess No Way Jose was coming out for something tonight, this afternoon. He got jumped by the members of Sanity and beat down this afternoon, and William Regal said he was not going to wrestle. So replacing him was Cassius Ohno, complete with his Todd Weber special, Sacramento Kings throwback. Solid match. You know, had some good chemistry in the middle. Sanity wins it at 12:30. Your overall breakdown, Greeny, of this one, what'd you think?
I thought this was a really, really good opener. Now, after they showed the angle that they shot with Sanity taking out No Way Jose, the first two names that came to my mind, one, of course, was Cassius Ohno, and the other one was Hideo Itami, possibly having him return because he is cleared. But I am glad that they did go with Ohno. He's, one of the best wrestlers in the world. Give him a spotlight on his first takeover special. Plus, I mean, having him team up with Dillinger and Strong was really cool. I like Ruby Riott too. I didn't know much about her. You know, I did a little research on her and stuff. I really haven't seen her work in the ring, but she was impressive. I'm a big Nikki Cross fan, and Ruby hung in there with her. It was really cool. All the baby faces did a lot of good tagging. Sanity got the win, and they needed it because they're an established stable in NXT. The three singles competitors, along with Ruby Red, you know, there's plans for them. Dillinger, there's been talks of him coming up on the main roster. We'll see how that goes. But Roderick Strong and Cassius Ohno are going to be big single stars in NXT very soon. And I mean, who knows? Sanity. I can see a tag run with some possible Freebird rules coming in the next couple of months, maybe.
Yeah, I also think that Sanity could be set up possibly, I mean, I know they're already in NXT, but as another version of the Wyatt family, where Eric Young can be a legit NXT championship contender, and, you know, these guys are, and Nikki Cross are kind of his, because you could pretty much break down Sanity, and at one point, they can all hold the belts. Mm-hmm. So that's a possibility. Johnny, what were your thoughts on the opener? I know that you were telling me on the side that you were having some
I was having some issues with the feed.
Yeah, Ring of Honor was breaking into it. That's why Nigel said something. No, I'm only kidding. from what you saw of it, what'd you think?
It seemed like a really enjoyable match. Again, I only saw bits and pieces of it. I'm a huge fan of Ohno. It was great to see him in there. And I do have to agree. I think he's going to be a big part of NXT going forward.
The guy that I like, I'm curious your thoughts, gentlemen, on this guy. Another guy that I think is going to be a legit, solid main event contender throughout the year is Roddy Strong. He's a guy that I think could give Bobby Roode a boatload of tremendous matches. And of course, in terms of being promoted, Roddy's the kind of guy you'll probably see on 205 Live. What do you think of Roddy Strong at this moment, Johnny? Do you think he's a guy that you could latch on to for the next, like, 6 months?
As long as he's promoted, right? Absolutely. Again, he, you know, he's not the flashiest guy in terms of personality, but his in-ring work kind of speaks for itself. Mm.
Greeny, what do you think of Roddy?
Yeah, I agree with Johnny. You know, he's not flashy. He doesn't have that special spark that they're looking for sometimes in WWE. But he's well established around the world. He's proven his ring work, and yeah, I would be very invested in a match with him and Bobby down the road. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. I think I like Roddy a lot, and I think he's a guy that will shine. Ono's the same way. I think this is it for Ty Dillinger. I don't think there's really anything left for him to do. I think he's going to kind of float a bit. He may go off camera for a while, and I think you'll see him drafted to either Raw or SmackDown Live when the draft comes in a couple months. I don't see him sticking around NXT too much longer. So there you go. That was the opener, and Sanity keeps their hot streak going, winning the match in 12:30. All right, next up, the other non-title match of the evening, and we have a big debut, the debut of British superstar Aleister Black, who actually had his own, and Greeny and I were kind of shocked. We were here with Armento, the doctor was here, we were checking it out, and we were surprised that Aleister Black actually had his own, like, graphics, his own font. You don't get that very often. The Wyatts have it, Taker has it, and who was the other one you had said to me? Rusev has his own. Other than that, you know, even like Cena and those guys get the generic show graphics, but Aleister Black actually went with the gimmick. He took on Cien Almas, and we thought this one was going to be a kind of a slog of a match, but it ended up not being too bad. And I saw some criticisms on Twitter. Black wins the match in 9:35. I thought the match felt longer, but I did hear some guff on Twitter from some who thought that Black should have squashed Almas in like 4 minutes. Instead, it was a 9.5 minute match, and Almas, I gotta be honest with you, maybe next to his match with Rude last year at TakeOver Brooklyn, probably Almas's best match in NXT. Johnny, were you surprised that Black actually kind of had to work for this win? Were you expecting a squash?
No, I really wasn't. I think they have high hopes for Almas, and there's absolutely no reason to bury him here. You know, it's a strong debut either way.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Greeny, your thoughts? What did you think of the match?
The match was really good. Almas, I still don't get. I don't get what he is. He's obviously somebody's pet project in NXT, whether it's Hunter or Regal or Norman Smiley, somebody. I don't get him. But that aside, I think that this was his best match so far in NXT. Aleister Black, the former Tommy End, is, wow, what a debut. Very impressive. Almas worked really good with him. One thing I was not a fan of was Aleister Black throws some heavy kicks, does some moonsaults and stuff. I didn't understand why Almas was working his arm for a lot of the match. Work his legs, work his knees, take out what he's going to use as offense. But, you know, that aside too, decent match. And of course, you know, at the end we get the Nigel McGuinness calling Aleister Black the future of Ring of Honor, which I think everybody kind of said, did he really just say that? But what are you going to do? Nigel was great, though, on the show as well.
Yeah, and we were just saying before, we all were like, did we just hear that? And of course, people on Twitter made fun of him. But my personal opinion, Triple H is not Vince. There's bigger fish to fry in this company. So, and unlike back in the, you know, 80s and obviously early 90s when, you know, all about kayfabe and you're not supposed to acknowledge other companies. I mean, Vince knows we're all not fucking stupid. So, I mean, it's, you know what, Vince probably, Triple H probably got a giggle out of it and you know, Road Dogg and those guys probably jabbed him in the back at the end, but whatever, it's all good. I don't, it's epic. It's Nigel. You know, not, I mean, he was going to slip at some point. Yeah, of course he slipped on NXT's biggest show of the year, but we're all just giggling at it and giving him the benefit of the doubt. So I got no issues whatsoever. I had no problem with it. So Aleister Black wins in 9:35, which is our shortest match of the night because the next three are pretty long. What do you see in the next few months, Johnny, for Aleister Black? What do you think the plans could be for him? Who's a good guy? Who's a good guy you would hook him to for a few weeks?
Well, I think he'd have a rematch with Almas, and honestly, I think he—I don't know if you would go to this right away, but you could probably get him in there against Strong or Ono. And but I don't know if you really want to have either of them coming out of a losing end with that feud,
right?
I don't know. I was really impressed by Black. I think he. This guy, if the gimmick works and his in-ring stuff is just pretty cool, I think he could go all the way to the top in NXT.
I think he can as well. And obviously they need to start reloading the – they need to start loading up the roster because obviously there is going to be some moves between now and when the draft is, which is sometime in probably late May, early June. It's fine. I agree with you that – there'll be some setup, and I think he'll be a big addition to the roster once they start making moves over the next couple months. So, Aleister Black gets the win in 9:35. All right, our first of three championship matches this evening. The NXT Tag Team titles are on the line. Your champions, the Authors of Pain, Akam, and Razor. Is it Akam? Akam? I don't know. Hashtag not Hawk and Animal. They took on the triple threat match, elimination rules, the two former champions, DIY, Johnny Wrestling, and Psycho Killer. And of course, my team, The Revival, New Arn, New Tully. This was an interesting match. I saw a lot of people, more people on Twitter giving this a lot of crap because they thought that Authors of Pain, it was an extended squash and, you know, how do you book these guys to dominate? Why are they even in NXT? You should move them up to the main roster. Bad psychology was a few comments I heard, which I thought was, you know what? Watch the fucking show and shut up. Because, I mean, you got to have a dominant tag team. There's no problem with it. And they, to their credit, I mean, DIY and the Revival gave those two teams, or gave the Authors of Pain everything they could handle. The match went 23:50, which I felt that way, but I thought it was a great match. I thought they all three of them worked well together. I think it was Author of Pain's best match. Yes, did they have, you know, two good teams to work with? Yeah, but you still got to dance. It takes two to tango, and you know, Authors of Pain had to be ready for it. You can't just, these other four guys are not just going to carry, you know, two sloths around. I thought they took the power bomb shot well. I thought that was choreographed well. I love the whole putting, I think it was Razor, putting him in the double submissions while the other one was trying to like fight through the two guys, and eventually he did break the pin. And that's fine. I think, you know, they're bigger guys than the other team, than the other two teams. So I think it worked out fine. Greeny, what were your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, it was a really, really fun match. To be honest, I mean, I'm sure tomorrow night at Mania, you know, we're going to have one or two contenders for match of the year. But this match is up there for, you know, an early match of the year candidate along with Cena and AJ from the Royal Rumble. Yeah, a lot of fun spots in this match. I want to get on the Authors of Pain bandwagon, but I can't quite yet. They've been very fortunate to be in the ring with three great tag teams to make them look really good and bump for them. DIY, The Revival, and American Alpha before they got called up. They're very impressive for big guys. Having Paul Ellering definitely helps them too to cut their promos and stuff. Like I said, I want to like them, but they need to get another big man team in NXT to kind of help them a little bit. I mean, on a different, in a different way than what DIY, The Revival, and American Alpha had helped them with. They need somebody that's not going to always just bump for them, somebody who can go pound for pound, strength for strength with them. But yeah, the table spot, the submission spot, Dawson and Gargano doing DIY's finisher was incredible. But the second that DIY got eliminated, it was almost like the crowd just gave up on the match a little bit. I mean, I don't blame them. I would have rather have seen a DIY versus Revival match again. Those guys can work every night and have a different match every night, and every match be four and a half stars. You know, I guess the same thing with you know, some other people in NXT. Some people have high hopes for the Authors of Pain. Obviously, because they're tag champions. I don't know. Maybe something with them and Sanity. You know, I don't know. Is this it for the Revival, though, too? You know, do we see them come up to the main roster soon? But I don't know. A fun match, though, overall. Yeah, that's it with that.
Yeah, I was when the match ended, I was thinking about this. I don't think both teams were squashed. I think the psychology of it is the Authors of Pain are a big team. They're big dudes. And as great as wrestlers, Dash, Dawson, Johnny Gargano, and Ciampa are, you know, sometimes just size wins, and they just got worn down by two bigger guys. That's the psychology, and I'm fine with it. Johnny, what do you think?
Well, I agree. I mean, this match was just a lot of fun. Yeah, I think it was match of the night. But to the people who think who are saying there was bad psychology, I completely disagree. I mean, the story told in that match is that the DIY and the Revival had to work together to try to take Authors down. And the fact is, the story they told where when they were working together, they almost did it. But the two teams just don't like each other that much that they kept turning on each other. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really fun story that you don't often see in triple threat matches. Other than that, you know, I agree with you. The power guys went over you know, that's some old school booking where, you know, you just sometimes can't beat the power guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the psychology. I don't understand the problem. Oh, I understand the problem. The smarky troglodytes wanted the worky guys to win and the fat guys to lose. Well, you know what? Tough shit. It doesn't always work out that way. Good psychology can work in many ways. And that was the hook tonight in that match, was that you had two teams, expert technical workers, who don't like each other and certainly don't trust each other. But they had to work together because they're like, you know what? I might as well deal with the devil I know than the devil I don't know. Let's work together, take out the two big hosses, and then we'll just blow the house up and may the best team win. Well, they couldn't do that enough, and obviously the Revival were more guilty of it, but they're the bad guys, and that's the way it works. So the Authors of Pain are your retain their NXT Tag Team Championships. Of course, new belts debuted. They look similar. They're a little more blingy, a little bigger. I like them. I think they're cool. Like I said, I think the tag straps were the one NXT titles that needed freshening up, and I think they freshen up fine. They look small on the Office of Pain. It was kind of like every time Big Show ever won a championship, the belt always looked like one of the little foam belts when he had it because he was so big. So the Authors of Pain are still your NXT Tag Team Champions. All right, next up, our second title match of the evening, the NXT Women's Championship on the line. Your champion still, Asuka. She does that cool thing where she does her tongue and then she hooks her like her jaw to the side. She does that look, which is pretty hot. She took on one of my other favorite workers in NXT, Ember Moon. With that awesome theme song and the, you know, top rope stunner, which is what the Eclipse is, which is a fucking amazing finisher. It's probably better than most finishers on the main roster. An interesting match. I wouldn't say the best of their efforts. I understood the story they were being told. For the first time, if I can think, Asuka actually did a kind of a dick heel move. Ember Moon was about to hit the Eclipse, but Asuka pushed the ref into the rope, Ember Moon crotched herself, and then Asuka hit her kick to win and retain the title. So for the first time in her run, as far as I can think of, Asuka actually won like a heel. She legitimately cheated to win the match, which we haven't seen before. Greeny, what's your thoughts? Break it down, baby.
Yeah, I'll call this a mild upset. I mean, I said on Main Event last week that I thought Ember Moon was going to walk away the new champion. But thinking about it, too, Asuka has been dominant since coming up to the main coming into NXT. She has basically taken the spot of four women. The horsewomen on the roster: Becky, Sasha, Bayley, and Charlotte. Let her just keep dominating and holding the belt. Yeah, you know, the main roster, especially Raw right now, could use an extra face on the program, but she's lights out in every single match that she has. She had some awesome spinning back fist that she hit onto Ember Moon too. And now, don't get me wrong either, Ember Moon is not going anywhere either. She's incredible, and I wouldn't mind seeing another two or three matches between these two girls. There's a few more girls that deserve title shots too. Liv Morgan, Nikki Cross is another one. But yeah, I don't think that this feud is over. And Asuka also has a completely different match than a Charlotte or a Becky or a Sasha. The Japanese style that she has, it is completely different. Fans were, I don't want to say spoiled, but the matches that we saw with the four horsewomen were faster paced, just a totally different style that we've never seen before as far as American wrestling in a WWE ring. What Asuka brings is her Japanese style, which we haven't seen yet in a WWE NXT ring, but it's also different from what the American girls did. So, like I said, it's an upset. I wanted to see Ember Moon win, but Asuka remaining champion, it makes total sense to me now, though.
I think that another thing about Asuka's matches, and Johnny, chime in, please. Asuka wrestles, I feel like, a different match every time. She definitely kind of blends in with whoever she's wrestling, and she kind of let Ember Moon with the kicks and the flip. She kind of blended in with the match tonight, and it was a perfect setup. Obviously, not hitting the eclipse means the feud continues. Were you shocked, Johnny, that Asuka retained?
No. I honestly think she's going to come to the main roster still being NXT Women's Champion.
So she'll pull a Kevin Owens from last year.
Yes. I also think,
2 years ago, I guess.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago, actually.
It was 2 years ago, right? Wow. How time has flown.
I think Asuka, if they book her correctly, has the potential to be the female equivalent of a Brock Lesnar on the main roster. You know, just that unstoppable, heel. Or doesn't even have to be. You know, face heel, doesn't matter. She's just unstoppable.
Right.
In terms of the finish, I really liked it because even though Asuka won, I think it put over Ember Moon that Asuka knew that for the first time she was in somewhat serious jeopardy against Ember. And the first time she decided to cheat. So I just felt that it was a good finish for keeping them both over.
Mm-hmm.
And it just showed, that even though Asuka is unstoppable, Ember may have a way to stop her.
I think she does have a way to stop her. She obviously, I think that's why it was booked that way. I think that's the best part about it is Asuka knew that she was about to get cooked, and she, she had to pull out a dirty trick, which is not Asuka's cup of tea, which is the first time we'd seen it in her, in her NXT career. So Asuka retains the NXT Women's Championship. The match went 12-10, and their new belt Kind of looks like the Impact Wrestling. Well, the old, like the late, not like the late 2000s, X Division title belt with the big X in the middle, because the N and the T and then the X is gigantic. I don't like the way they did that, so I wasn't not a fan. That was the old women's title was the one belt I actually didn't mind and was fine with having, and they could have kept that one in my opinion, but they didn't. They refreshed them all, and that's cool. As a matter of fact, I was telling these guys earlier, Johnny, I don't know if you had the pre-show on, but I was kind of stoked when, like, these security guys came in with these long Halliburtons with all the belts in them, and I was actually thinking, oh, I'd love for these guys to walk into my house right now with all of these Halliburtons. I would have been very excited. So, all right, so Asuka retains the championship. Now, before we get to the main event, you know, a year ago, there was a face in the crowd at NXT TakeOver Dallas, and we know who that face in the crowd was. We'll mention him shortly. But in the crowd this year, sitting in the front row, was the returning, and he had the coolest theme. I was going to cue it up, and I didn't. The coolest theme, Drew McIntyre. He had the awesome theme. He was a former Intercontinental Champion, and he was sitting in the front row. So, obviously, former Drew Galloway, now Drew back to being Drew McIntyre, is out from Impact Wrestling, and he's obviously re-signed with WWE. Although, didn't you tell me, Greeny, that he was somewhere else, like, literally hours before the show started?
Yeah, somebody mentioned in one of our chats, I think it was Chad Campbell, saying that McIntyre worked the opening match at the Progress vs. Evolve show about 90 minutes before showing up at TakeOver somewhere, you know, across town in Orlando. So, you know, good for him for double dipping.
Yeah, hardest working guy in professional wrestling. Johnny, you've known me a long time. You know that I was always a kind of a Drew McIntyre mark until he joined the fucking stupid three-man band crap. Good addition to the roster again, you think?
Absolutely. Now, if you remember, it's somewhere on audio out there, if you can find it, I used to hate Drew McIntyre. You know, if you do remember, I was not a fan of
him. No, you weren't. You were not.
You know, he got let go, and then I started seeing, you know, some of the stuff he was doing on the indies and on Impact, you know, and the guy just totally reinvented himself. And you know, he just now comes across as a legit badass. And I think that's what he always needed. And to tell you the truth, when I saw him in the crowd, I kind of had a mark out moment. I think he is a great addition to NXT.
This is the thing. We had a discussion about it here at my place while we were watching. I think WWE almost likes when guys feel like they're underutilized. And I don't think they mind leaving, reinventing themselves, building up some cachet, and then coming back. I think WWE has no problem with that. And I think eventually the next guy you'll see in the crowd next year at NXT TakeOver New Orleans will be Cody Rhodes. So it's going with him well right now. It's doing.
And then CM Punk, right?
I think CM Punk. I would not be surprised. I'll be honest with you. And he lives in Chicago. I still live in Florida. But I would not be surprised if if CM Punk ever came back, he would say, I just want to wrestle in NXT. Be kind of cool. Then he'd have to work directly with Triple H, and maybe that's not the smartest move. But anyway, I think that's what they like, and I think Drew McIntyre is a perfect example of that. I think they like seeing these guys going to other promotions, other you know, areas, working in other places around the world, and that includes Ring of Honor, and then coming back with a different kind of sachet. And I think that will be the case of another brother tandem that we may see less than 24 hours from now in the bigger building in Orlando. All right, now time for our main event, the big rematch for the NXT Championship. Your champion, the glorious Bobby Roode, taking on former two-time champion Shinsuke Nakamura. Nakamura's entrance, pretty cut and dry. Roode had the two pianists, which was kind of badass, and it was pretty awesome. And in what was a great match, kind of laid out roughly the same as their match they had in San Antonio. The match went 28-20. I'm curious to see the length of the previous match. I'll look it up while my man Greeny's doing his comments. This one was 28-20. Let me see the previous match. Let's see. The previous one, the 27-05. So this match was about a minute longer than the one they had in San Antonio. I thought it was well-paced. I thought the whole injury thing, Bobby Roode went after Nakamura's leg. Nakamura went after Roode's arm, which was good because that means he couldn't lift him up for the glorious DDT. Somehow he did get it off, and Bobby Roode wins clean to retain the NXT Championship, which also made an upgrade tonight. It took me the length of the match, but I think I'm okay with it. It looks a lot like the women's belt. It has the big X in the middle, but I think I'm okay with it. I didn't have a problem with the original belt, but that one was probably due for a refresh as well. But I don't hate the new belt. Not as much as the women's one for some reason. Greeny, fantastic match. I mean, you saw me. I was pacing back and forth. I was getting a little nervous, I'm not going to lie. But not that I don't love Nakamura, of course. But I thought it was a fantastic match. I thought it was just as good as San Antonio. What did you think?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, the first 15 minutes or so had, you know, kind of what I call the Greg Valentine special, where it took about 15 minutes to kind of get things going a little bit. But the more that I watch Bobby Roode in NXT, the more I figure out what Triple H wants him to be. Triple H wants Roode to be the flair of his territory. He's that old-school-looking, sharp-dressed heel that Flair was, where he's going to do what he has to do to beat every single person in the territory and look good while doing it. Nakamura and Roode have such clash of styles, but for the last 10 or 12 minutes of that match, man, they made it work. It was so much fun. I loved the kicks that Nak was giving to Rude's upper arm into his shoulder. Roode did a great job selling that stuff. I personally thought that Nakamura was gonna get the belt back, and we were gonna see, you know, a third match, you know, a rubber match from this series coming up soon. But you know, after the match ended, and Roode is you know grasping that new NXT title, I was like, it hit me. He's Triple H's flair of this territory, and this is it for Nakamura, though. I think Nakamura, we will see him on SmackDown on Tuesday night. That fast.
That's entirely possible. I'm not going to lie. That is entirely possible. Johnny, your thoughts up and down on this one, and do you see Nakamura on television sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with a lot of what was just said there. In terms of, there is a definite, you know, clash of styles, especially on paper when you look at these two. It just shouldn't work. But they find a way to create that psychology between the two of them where the second half of their matches turn into something really special. I agreed that the first half sometimes could be a little slow. Other than that, I thought it was a great match. Great finish. Totally agree with how Roode is being portrayed as the flair of NXT. And as for Nakamura coming to the main roster, yeah, absolutely. Whether it's Raw or SmackDown, I don't know. I think SmackDown needs him more.
SmackDown definitely needs him more. I love both your guys. Well, I love your assessment, Greeny and Johnny. You backing him up. That I like that. Roode is Triple H's flair. He's the good. He's the heel that's going to persevere. He's not going to give you flashy matches. That's just not his style. He's going to go there. He's going to work you. He's going to work his opponent. Try to take out all of his opponent's advantages and work it into his own offense. That's exactly what he did. So I think Bobby Roode is a great veteran addition to this brand, and it showed tonight that he's a guy that could sustain and have good feuds. I see more matches with Ono coming up. I see more matches with other guys, and we've already talked about We've already talked about Roddy Strong, and who knows about Aleister Black, and there's a lot of guys that we could still see on the horizon that could challenge Bobby Roode for the NXT title. So I think that's which means we know for a fact that Bobby Roode will be sticking around for a while. I don't see him going to the main roster like Kevin Owens did 2 years ago and bringing the NXT belt with him. I don't see that happening with Bobby Roode. All right. Overall, there is your breakdown of NXT TakeOver Orlando. Johnny, top to bottom, what'd you think overall?
Really good show. As always, most of the TakeOver shows are always worth the time to watch. I say this over and over again. NXT is the type of wrestling I like to watch. You know, it's has that old school feel. Sometimes, especially tonight with Rude, it almost felt like I was watching an old NWA pay-per-view.
Anytime we watch Crockett, we smile.
But yeah, definitely. I mean, the triple threat tag was just awesome, and the main event was great. Not really a bad match at all on the show.
Mm. Greeny, your overall thoughts?
Yeah, I really liked it. From a scale of 1 to 10, I would give it an 8 out of 10. NXT takeovers rarely disappoint, and this one definitely didn't. A really, really fun opener with the mixed tag. Aleister Black, man, that match was so much fun. I really enjoyed it. The tag elimination match, one of the best matches of the year. Asuka continued her dominance, and... so did Bobby Roode.
And I'll be curious to see. Now, obviously, the next scheduled takeover is, of course, in August at TakeOver Brooklyn 3 before SummerSlam. But I guarantee you there'll be a takeover in between. And you mentioned it, Greeny, when we were chatting, and we were all over earlier, that they'll probably do an overseas NXT takeover, maybe another England one. Something like that, where they'll have a taping in late May or early June and have a takeover, in between. Because I can't see them not having a takeover between now and Brooklyn 3. All right, before we re-wrap, two things. Number one, I want to update everyone, because if you listen to our big mega Rite of Spring preview earlier this week on PlacementNation.com, the big main event preview, I bitched and moaned and harped and pissed and yelled about the fact that the SmackDown women's title match was being relegated to the pre-show. Well, now it's moved back to the main show, which it should have and never should have been moved to the pre-show in the first place. So there's only two matches on the pre-show. Now, Johnny, you were unable to join us on Wednesday, but you'll be with us this coming Wednesday for our WrestleMania recap show. So I'm going to give you some time, and the floor is yours. I'll fire off the card at you. Give me your prediction and why. We'll start with the pre-show. The Cruiserweight Championship is on the line as Neville will defend against Austin Aries. Who do you like and why?
I'm going to go Aries. I just think the division is built around these two, and I think a title change could definitely get this feud really going. In terms of being on the pre-show, I think it's a shame. I think this one's going to be a show stealer. Might even be match of the night.
I agree. All right, and the other pre-show match, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. This is Big Show's last match. He will be retiring. Could he win his second trophy in 4 years? Do you see Braun Strowman taking it? Do you have an upset pick? Who do you like in the Battle Royal?
This one's tough. The fact that this is Show's final match in his final Mania, you'd want to give it to him. But at the same time, Strowman's worked so hard in the past year to really improve that it really should go to him. So I guess you go with Strowman, or maybe have Show win it and Strowman attacks him afterward. In terms of an upset, the only guy I could see being an upset is Sami Zayn.
I could see that as well. All right, let's go to the main show proper. We can now say, as I mentioned, that the SmackDown Women's Championship is on the main show now. We don't know what kind of match it is. I guess it's technically called a six-pack challenge. Alexa Bliss will defend her SmackDown Women's Championship against Becky Lynch, Natalya, Mickey James, Carmella, and Naomi, and maybe there'll be more, Lord only knows. Who do you like here, Johnny?
I actually think Alexa's going to retain. She seems like a really over character. Is she the best in-ring? No, but she's getting better. Or maybe you get a surprise. Maybe Asuka comes into that and kills all of them.
That'd be pretty wild, actually. All right, let's go to the triple threat ladder match for the red belts, the Raw tag team titles, your champions, the club, Gallows and Anderson. Go pin where you poop. Taking on Enzo and Cass. Those two fuck. Well, one fuck. And Cesaro and Sheamus. Johnny, who do you like?
Probably the club retaining, but this is where I see a surprise. If you have ladders, that normally means Hardys.
Delete! I would love to see Enzo get deleted. That would be awesome. So you are kind of leaning towards that you will see them. We will see them tomorrow or today, depending on when you're listening to this.
I think so. I mean, I hope so. In terms of, if they don't, we'll definitely see them Monday or Tuesday.
Okay. All right. Next up, we have the Intercontinental title on the line, your champion, Dean Ambrose, taking on the other half of what will be the new Skyscrapers, Baron Corbin. You know that whole scheme, Johnny. I'm giving you that storyline to book. Baron Corbin, big cast, new Skyscrapers. There you go. Who do you like for the IC belt?
I think it's Corbin. Sadly, I think Dean has just been lost in the shuffle. Again, I still feel that his interview with Stone Cold kind of sabotaged him, and they don't really trust him in a main spot anymore. But that's just my perspective. I don't know for sure.
Well, he did it to himself because he fucked it up.
In terms of, I think they're going to keep going with the push on Corbin. And I'll tell you what, Corbin on Talking Smack is great.
Yes.
When he is unscripted and just gets to say whatever he wants, the guy is awesome.
Mm-hmm. All right, next, the mixed tag. I know the match you're most looking forward to. And that is The Miz and Maryse taking on John Cena and Nikki Bella. What do you think?
Well, I'm pretty sure Cena and Bella or Nikki are winning this so they could get to the proposal. I do have to give a lot of credit to Miz and Maryse for actually making me care about this match.
Mm-hmm.
Their total Bella's bullshit was just awesome.
Yes.
And Cena's comeback promo was great. I mean, so this is they did a really good job at a match that could have been total garbage in a way to make people care.
And I will not pay to see a match made in heaven in Brooklyn. Besides, they'll get totally fucking torched anyway. They're not exactly Savage and Elizabeth. So, all right, the United States Championship is on the line. Your champion, Chris Jericho, taking on your former Universal Champion, Kevin Owens. What do you think?
It's KO. I definitely think Owens is winning just because Jericho's leaving soon. Since the Cruiserweight is not on the main show, this and there's one other potential match that we haven't gotten to yet that could be match of the night.
Uh-huh.
But this one, I think, could steal the show.
Okay. I think it has a definite chance, too. I think Jericho will, I think both guys will try to make it steal the show. Next, the Fatal 4-Way for the Raw Women's Championship. Bayley will defend the title against Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and Nia Jax. What do you think?
Well, this is the other match that I think could steal the show. Last year, the Triple Threat was match of the night, in my opinion. But this one, we'll see. We'll see what Nia adds to it, because we know the three of the four horsewomen could definitely go, and they know each other well, so they could put on a hell of a match. So we'll see how whether Nia helps or hurts the match.
Mm. Okay, who do you like?
Oh, winning it? I think Bayley. I think Bayley, they screwed up the story up to this point. This is their time to fix it.
Okay, all right. Next, a match that has no stipulation but could end up being a gigantic car wreck of fun, and that is AJ Styles taking on Shane O'Mac. I don't know if you've seen the set, but there's a gimmick ring on the roof of above the ring. I could see Shane trying to jump off that. but Lord, or maybe he'll jump off the roller coaster, whatever the hell's at this on the stage. God only knows.
I think it'll be the roller coaster.
Yeah. We were talking about this match extensively on Wednesday. I can't see AJ losing, right?
No. I mean, that would just be ridiculous. What would be the point here?
Exactly.
I think it's going to be fun. Will it be a great match? No, probably not. But has AJ really ever had a terrible match?
Do you compare... Let me ask you this. Can this one... Well, this is not a... This doesn't have a street fight rules. It should. Could this be as good as Shawn and Vince was at 22?
Sure. Sure, absolutely. The reason being is Shane could do a little more than Vince. And we may get a last-minute stipulation where it is not a straight match.
And were you crestfallen when you saw the news of what this match almost was?
Weren't we all?
Probably. Eight stars?
It would have been eight stars. It would have broke all scales. But, you know, I completely respect his decision to stay retired. Thing about Shawn, and I think we know this, if he had one match, it wouldn't stop at one. And we'd be happy, but he might not be.
Right. It was supposed to originally stop at one match when him and Triple H fought at SummerSlam 02. All right. Speaking of great work rate, our next match, a non-sanctioned street fight. Triple H will take on Seth Rollins. This is going to be surprisingly good. Not surprisingly, I think Seth Rollins' knee is better than people think it is, because he's moved around a lot better than people thought he would be. What do you think here? Seth wins.
I think Seth wins, unless he's really hurt and they have to write him out, and then, you know, then we have the complete destruction of Seth. But I think this is going to be chaos. This is Triple H is going to get involved. Joe's going to be involved. KO will be involved, maybe. I think you might get some surprises. I think this might be where you see Finn.
If you see Finn, is this match last?
No. This will go on late, but I don't think it'll be last.
Okay. All right. The match you're most looking forward to, because it's your favorite guy right now in the company. In fact, your favorite guy in all of wrestling, and that is Roman Reigns. He is taking... I tried to softball you there. Taking on the Dead Man. I'm not joking here. I'm surprisingly looking forward to this match, actually. I don't think this match can be bad, Johnny. I don't. I don't think either... You know, I think people should stop... I know you're not... You don't... You dislike Roman, but not because of his in-ring work. But I don't think he's going to allow this match to suck, and Taker won't certainly not allow this match to suck. So this match can be better than people think, in my opinion. What about you?
I agree, and I think this could be a huge moment for Roman if they play it right. You could go full heel with him, which I don't think they will, but I think it's the right choice. But if he, no disrespect to Taker at all, but Taker is on... You know, he's on the very tail end of his career. And, Taker matches nowadays, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm a little concerned when he's in there because you don't want to see him get hurt.
Precisely.
If this is Taker's last match, you know what, and Reigns beats him, the streak's already done, so who cares? I think this is a huge moment for Reigns. And I don't think it's going to be a bad match. Taker's not going to let it be a bad match.
And does Roman win?
No question. I really completely think Roman is winning this.
Okay. All right. All right. The Universal Championship's on the line in a match that's rumored to go 53 minutes. It is Goldberg taking... Maybe they've wrestled 53 minutes total in his career? No. Goldberg taking on Brock Lesnar. There is some scuttle on Twitter and some other places that Goldberg may actually retain, and he is sticking around. I don't know if that's entirely true, but what do you think?
I don't know, but if Goldberg were to retain and he's sticking around, then you have completely destroyed the Brock Lesnar character. There's just no reason to have him get beat this many times when WWE's pretty good about... Not good. It's not really a good thing, but they like to have their guys trade wins. In terms of this, I don't know. I heard it actually was going past 53 minutes. It's actually an Iron Man.
Goldberg, but, Kurt Angle. That's what Brock said. Goldberg, Kurt, they're all the same.
Here's what I'm hoping happens. This is the match where I hope Pat Patterson is somewhere backstage because he could fix. He could help them have a good match.
Yeah. I think they should listen to Pat, be honest with you. And finally, the WWE Championship, which many people think could actually be the main event. And that is Bray Wyatt defending the WWE Championship against Randy Orton. What do you think?
This one's tough. This is a really tough one. It's a 50-50. Unfortunately, the one match I do remember these two having was not very good. Hoping it's better than that match. Don't remember. It was one of the secondary pay-per-views, I think mid to late last year. But I think Bray retains. It's just, you know, do you really want Bray's first title reign to end this quick?
It's true.
Orton doesn't need it.
That's true as well. Which means I don't think it'll be last. I don't think they'll end with Bray retaining. I think Taker, I still think, regardless of what happens to the other matches, I think Taker Roman is last.
But you know what? That could be a cool visual to end Mania on. You know, all the song playing, all the cell phones out.
Entirely true. If it ends up being a babyface turn, perhaps. Perhaps. Johnny, thank you for your picks. Greeny, I know you were on, were joining the rest of the Motley Bunch on Wednesday, but do you have any final thoughts, anything's changed your mind from now till then, or your final thoughts before we embark on Sunday?
No, like I said, when we first started the show, I mean, this is our weekend, man. This is what we look forward to. The set looks incredible, though. They posted a video with New Day today on WWE.com with them showing off the set. I'm going to stick with my predictions. And the news that they were talking about that Jim Ross is going to be calling is it the Goldberg and Brock match?
Yeah, that's
what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's really cool. And you know what? Good for him for coming to Orlando this weekend after what he just went through. I'm sure it's good for him to be around some familiar faces and some good friends and stuff. So, our thoughts and prayers go out to Jim Ross.
Yeah, it's going to be great hearing him tomorrow and then what happens from the future. Guys, this was a lot of fun. Mr. Reckless, thank you. Always a pleasure to have you on, sir. We will have you on Wednesday when we do our next official main event episode, where we will recap the weekend, we'll recap Sunday, and of course what's going to happen on both Monday and Tuesday. Greeny, you're always the best, and we will talk. We'll be hanging out tomorrow night watching the show.
Yes, sir.
And we'll be on Wednesday. We got plenty of content on PlaceBeNation.com. The WrestleMania Listomania ended today with the final installment, and a great job by my buddy, my PIC, Mr. Azzaro, for setting that up, and all of us for voting. And it was a great project, and we had something in the works for SummerSlam. Not sure what it is yet, but we'll see. And all the great podcasts we had, of course, if you want one last listen before we start things at 5 o'clock on the WWE Network, listen to Clotheslines and Headlines. Listen to the main event preview. Brian Bayless has his preview on PlacementNation.com. All the great stuff. It's been a fun WrestleMania season. For Johnny Reckless, for Jason Greenhouse, I am Scott Criscolo. Enjoy Sunday. We will talk to you Wednesday when we put it all up and wrap it in a neat bow. A glorious night in Orlando. Enjoy.